adab al-mu'asharat, etiquettes of social life, the etiquettes of listening to speech. When someone speaks to you, do not listen with indifference. This attitude will hurt his feelings. When someone speaks to you, do not listen with indifference, even if it is something maybe what you've already heard it before. Something that you feel, oh, it's not so important to me. If a person is in a rush, then he may make an excuse, but otherwise, if he's going to listen, then he should listen in a manner that shows that he's listening with attention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير الناس أنفعهم للناس رواه الطبراني رحمه الله وقال تعالى وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المسلم أخو المسلم رواه مسلم رحمه الله تعالى رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. I have mentioned two short ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and both of them are connected. The first hadith, which is narrated by Imam Tabarani rahmatullahi, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, the best of people are those who are most beneficial to the people. That is the first hadith. And in the second hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, which is narrated by Imam Muslim, that al-Muslimu akhul Muslim, the Muslim is the brother of other Muslims, of another Muslim. Now, why are these two ahadith connected? Because these two ahadith are concerning benefiting other people, helping other people. The first hadith is very clear, that the best of people is the one who benefits, who is most beneficial to the people. This means after everything that is compulsory. In what is a person is not performing salah, but he is going out of his way to be most beneficial to people, we will not say he is the best of people. He is misusing his eyes, he is misusing his ears, but he is most, no, a person he is practicing upon deen, upon what is compulsory. We have two people, we have Zaid here who is practicing upon deen fully, and we have Khalid here who is also fully practicing upon deen. So one way in which they will be differentiated in the court of Allah Ta'ala is that Allah Ta'ala will see who was more beneficial to other people, who went out of his way more to benefit other people. And this first hadith includes Muslims and non-Muslims. This first hadith didn't say the best person is the one who is most beneficial to other Muslims. This first hadith said that the best person is the of the people is the one who is most beneficial to people. People includes Muslim and non-Muslim. So the first hadith is telling us that wherever we get the opportunity to benefit someone, we should benefit them, provided it is within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this principle indeed. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. This principle is also a hadith. What is this principle? To obey someone else or to benefit someone else, Allah Ta'ala cannot be disobeyed. So that is the first hadith. The second hadith, the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. This hadith is actually telling us the same message, because if two people are brothers, they're two true brothers, they behave as brothers should do so, then they will help each other. If one of them has a problem, the other person will rearrange his timetable, make space to try and help the other one. If he can't do anything, he will be a shoulder for him to cry. He will give him words of consolation. He will make a dua for him. People who are true biological brothers, they will behave like this. It is a different matter that unfortunately in our time, these close family ties as well, people don't uphold them as they should. But this is the reality. Two people are real brothers, two people are close family members like that. They will have a very strong bond. If one knows that the other is in difficulty, he will find it difficult to remain happy even when he's in his own four walls. His mind will be, oh my brother, he's undergoing this. The news came in that his brother has got a serious illness. It is incurable. He may have to live with it for life. He will also feel it, even though he is in the four walls of his own home. He may be perfectly healthy, but the shock will affect, of the news will affect him as well. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that treat every single Muslim in this way. So this hadith, the first hadith told us that go out of your way to benefit people in general. And this hadith is saying that with Muslims you should have a special connection. Remember this, our deen doesn't say benefit Muslims, help Muslims and don't help non-Muslims. No, our deen says help everyone, but with Muslims you should have a special connection. Because with every human you have one relationship, which is the relationship of being the children and the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So you have one relationship, the relationship of humanity. And with Muslims you have two relationships, the relationship of humanity and the relationship of religion and deen. So this is the overall picture of the two ahadith. Now let me mention a few important points regarding both of these ahadith. The first is that broadly speaking, the first is that benefiting other people. The first method of benefiting other people is making sure you don't harm other people. This is also a form of benefiting other people. As far as I remember, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he once asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what is the best amal. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the exact words escaped my memory, but I seem to remember that the first answer he gave was that you rectify a dispute that is between two people. You bring two people's hearts together, benefiting other people. Rectifying a dispute to resolve so many problems in the future. He asked again that, what if I'm not able to do that? What is the best amal after that? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to the nearest meaning, that the person who is in a problem, you help him. He said, what if I'm not able to do that? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you stop your evil from reaching other people. Meaning at least you have to do this, you must do this much, that make sure you don't harm someone else. And the reality is, in this manner we are also lacking a lot. If not purposefully, then sometimes due to our carelessness, we harm other people. And don't ever think regarding harm that, oh, it's a small inconvenience. No. Our deen teaches us that the smallest inconvenience must be avoided. Just today I was driving. Just as an example of an incident, sometimes we don't, a small example that we don't think much of. I was driving and I reached a junction. And there was one car in front of me. And we were waiting. It was a T-junction, so someone turned in. And it was a Muslim. And this person recognized that person. So on the junction, they stopped for a conversation. So I was already waiting behind this person. And this person turned in, conversation beginning. The conversation carried on. Another person joined me. Two, three people are waiting on that side as well. Now, I'm not focusing on the fact that it was a Muslim carrying it out. But to us, if we saw this, we'd be like, oh, no big deal. Okay, maybe you would get a little bit angry. No. It's an example of inconveniencing other people. It's something which our deen prohibits. Don't think regarding anything that in any, it's only a small inconvenience. No. Our deen says, go out of your way to make sure someone is not inconvenienced. And this is a very, very high quality, high level deed. My teacher and Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib Hafizahullah Ta'ala, his father Hafiz Ibrahim Durrat Rahmatullah Ali, he was a non-alim, but he was a very pious individual. So when he passed away, then many people came for As the Muslim said, when the siblings ta'aziyah, to console them. This is also a form of helping other people. To console them when some adversity happens, especially when someone passes away. So, Hazrat Mawlana Hashim Sahib Damat Barakatuh, who is the Khalifa of Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, and who from the inception of the Darul Bari, he has been carrying out khidmat. Now he is old and he is suffering from dementia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him complete shifa. But a very pious person, and he has done a lot of khidmat. Many of the older generation of ulama who have graduated from Darul Bari, he was one of the senior teachers, and they will have benefited abundantly from him. So, Hafiz Ibrahim Dorat, he was known for his piety and many other qualities. In fact, on that note, I will mention how much he used to go out of his way to help other people. And the example is amusing, but it will open our eyes that a non-alim, and we are talking about the era when there was much more racism. So, in those times, one quality of his was that he would ensure that he would try his best to participate in every janazah and every ghusl of every person as well. And he didn't drive. But the qabristan, the graveyard is at a distance. But still, he would come outside on the road and he find someone who he knows, and he would stop them that, you know, are you planning to go to the janazah? Are you free? Let's go to the janazah. So one, because he was an imam in that time, so he had been given a card from the NHS, because of which in the hospital in Leicester, he was, you can say, a chaplain. In those times, there was no separate system of chaplaincy like there is in our time. So he was effectively the chaplain. So it wasn't a paid service. His khidmah was imam, but whenever he would find out someone is unwell, whether he knew them or not, he would end up in the hospital. He didn't drive, but he would find someone, he would ask someone else, he would go to the hospital, he would spend time with them. And this card which he was given, it was given to him by the responsibles of the Leicester Hospital. So it was a card that was worked for Leicester Hospital, that he could visit any Muslim. But he had so much zeal to visit the sick, give them some words of consolation, that if he would go to another town, another city, and he would hear someone is in hospital, then he would tell his children or whoever was in that, let's go visit them. So the Muhammad said, I used to tell him once or twice that, you know, father, this card doesn't work for other hospitals. It only works in Leicester Hospital. But Hazrat mentions his sincerity was such and his zeal to help other people that when he would come in and he would present the card, they would accept it and they would let him go in. So non-alim, and in those times, like I said, you know, the culture of tolerating other people was nowhere near what it is now. You would think twice, especially in a new town, in a city, before going to the hospital, places like that, where there was a majority of non-Muslims. So I was saying, when he passed away, and Hazrat Mawlana Hashim Sahib Rahmatullah, amongst others, came to console Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib and the siblings. So he asked Hazrat Mawlana Salim Sahib that, you know, summarize your father in one sentence. If you would summarize your father's qualities in one sentence, what was it? So the Muhammad said, Allah Ta'ala put a thought in my mind. So he said that, I mentioned that one quality of my father, which come one summary that comes to mind, is that he passed away in the condition that he didn't have any dislike, any discontent for anyone else, and no one had any discontent, no one was displeased with him. So Hazrat Mawlana Hashim Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he said that is a sign of a very high level of wilaya and friendship of Allah Ta'ala. That a person has this quality. But he will have this quality when he doesn't cause other people displeasure. So that is the first quality we should be focusing on. And like I said, don't think anything is small. I've come into the masjid and I've started a conversation and someone starts performing. See, this needs to become our mindset, that I do not want to cause anyone any inconvenience. So I've come to the masjid is empty, I was talking to someone, okay. And suddenly someone else comes in and starts performing salah. Immediately my mind should register that he's performing salah and we were talking audibly. Now we need to lower our voices because he may be disturbed. Make this your mindset, that at everything I do, let me do it in a way that no one else is inconvenienced. I've gone to the toilet. I've relieved myself. Before coming out, automatically the thought should come in that the toilet must be left in a way that the person after me is not inconvenienced. That is the first way of benefiting other people. And that is the compulsory part of benefiting other people. Achcha. Now let us go on to the second method. Let's go on to the next point, which is actively helping other people. This falls into two categories. The first category is helping people in their worldly matters, and the second category is helping people in their deeni matters. Both of these are valuable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is busy in fulfilling someone's needs whilst he is busy in fulfilling the needs of his brother. So both of these are valuable. Wherever you get the chance to fulfill a worldly need of someone, to help someone in worldly matter, do it. But out of the two, the second is more valuable. Helping someone in a deeni matter. Because when you help someone in a deeni matter, then that help will stay with them forever and ever. Because that help will advance them in the hereafter. It may save them from Jahannam and land them in Jannah. And if they're already destined for Jannah, it will increase their ranks in Jannah. And that is something that will stay with them forever. If you even help save someone's life in this world, in reality his death was not written, but let's say you've saved someone's life, an incident, and he was close to effectively being involved in some accident, some situation where his life would have gone, and you've saved his life. Huge favor upon someone. But even that favor, it gives him some temporary benefit. If he is young, it will give him benefit of 30, 40, 50 years. And if it is old, it may give him benefit of 20, 30 years. But it's still temporary. But you benefit someone in some deeni matter, even if it is something small. You give them a bit of encouragement and they come for one salah. You give them a small deeni advice and they benefit on it. That will stay with them forever. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ana ajwadu wuldi Adam. I am the most generous of humans. وَأَجْوَدُهُمْ بَعْدِي. And who is the person who is most generous after me? So I am top in generosity. And who is the one who is most generous after me? The one who spends millions? The one who lifts whole communities out of hunger? No. The one who is most generous after me is the one who learns something and then teaches it to someone else. Now, this doesn't have to mean you become an ustad. No. Whether you do it whilst being a ustad, whether you do it informally, when you encourage someone to do it, you are teaching them as well. So benefit people in worldly matters, but especially benefit them in deeni matters. And those people who take time out to benefit others in deeni matters, ulama or non-ulama, look at them with respect. That they are doing a very worthy service. They are benefiting other people the best way possible. And the same goes for non-Muslims as well. Benefit them in their worldly affairs, but also try to bring them closer to deen. And one way of bringing them closer to deen is behave with them with good akhlaq, with character. I don't recall the name, but one great saint and a great alim of the subcontinent, he said in light of his research that in the subcontinent, there are two groups of people who have spread deen the most. He said, looking at the history of the Indian subcontinent, how did deen spread? How did people accept Islam? There are two groups of people that were the most fundamental in people, other people accepting Islam. He said one was the Sufiya Kiram, the Mashayikh, the pious individuals, the Awliya of Allah, which is natural. Allah Ta'ala takes works from them. And he said the other were the businessmen. The other was the businessmen. How? Because they are the people who deal with other people, who interact with other people the most. So by behaving Islamically as correct businessmen, they brought so many people close to deen and made them accept Islam. To other people it may seem, no, he's not busy in helping. But this act of behaving true, correct, as a correct Muslim, whilst interacting with other people, brings so many people close to Islam. This also brought so many people close to Islam in the era of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was active da'wah as well. That is also important. But this passive da'wah is also extremely important. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the 6th year of Hijrah, So Makkah Mukarramah, 13 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet. After that, 6 more years. So 13 plus 6, 19 years. 19 years. In the 6th year of Hijrah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for Umrah. And he left with 1,500 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Now some may have stayed at home, the people who had an excuse, maybe many women folk etc. may have stayed at home. But we get an idea of how many Sahaba there were, that 1,500 Sahaba radiallahu anhu went with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, to cut a long story short, they went and the Quraysh, the non-Muslims, they barred them, they stopped them from entering. They stopped them entering, but one beneficial thing that came about was that the non-Muslims and the Muslims decided that we will have a truce and an agreement, that we will be at peace for the next 10 years. No one will war with one another. Before that, war had taken place every first year, every second year. So the Muslims, they didn't manage to perform Umrah, this group of 1,500. But they came back with this truce. And because of this truce, borders became open. Borders became open means, until now people were worried about coming to Medina Munawwara. They were worried because they thought, these people of Medina at war with the people of Makkah. So it's not good to go visit there. We might come under the radar as well. This truce came, so borders became open. Borders became open. So this is the 6th year of Hijrah. In the 8th year of Hijrah, 2 years later, how many years? 2 years later. 19 years have passed until now, and the group of the Sahaba is 1,500. Let's say, you know, add a little bit here and there. People was 2,500 in Medina Munawwara. Outside Medina Munawwara, maybe there were pockets. For 19 years, borders opened. Borders opened mean people had the opportunity to come to Medina Munawwara openly. No pressure of, you know, we will come under the radar as well. The non-Muslims, they will target us as well. 2 years passed. 2 years later, the Quraysh, the non-Muslims themselves broke the agreement. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that, right, we are going to liberate Makkah. And he gathered an army. And how many people were in this army? 10,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. After 19 years, there was a total of 1,500, 2,000 Sahaba. Borders open. People had the opportunity to come and see Islam. People had the opportunity to come to Medina Munawwara, see the mahal of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And active da'wah must have taken place as well. Within 2 years, the total of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, double, triple, no. 10,000 plus Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What does that tell us? That this passive form of da'wah, active form, but passive form of da'wah, a person has the true Islamic qualities. Not just those that are connected to the masjid, that are connected to the Quran. No, those that are connected to the rights of other people. Then he, whether he says anything or not, he becomes a walking vehicle of da'wah. He becomes a walking vehicle of benefiting other people. And he becomes a true example of anfa'uhum linnas, someone who is beneficial for other people. So let us bring all of these qualities of benefiting other people in our lives. Firstly, that we don't cause anyone inconvenience. Secondly, from a worldly point of view, wherever we can, we benefit other people, especially Muslims. And thirdly, from a deeni point of view, wherever we can, we benefit other people. And I should end with this point, that one way in which we can benefit every person from a worldly and deeni point of view, without much difficulty on our part, is dua. Making dua regularly for other people's worldly and deeni matters. Part of our dua should be reserved for other people. This is the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was making dua. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paused for a moment and he listened to dua. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, have mercy on me." And so forth, so forth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened for a bit. And he realized that Ali radiallahu anhu is making dua, but there is no dua for other people. So either immediately or when next time he met Ali radiallahu anhu, he said to Ali radiallahu anhu that, "Oh Ali, make your dua all inclusive. Include other people in your dua." So one form of including other people in your dua is, "Oh Allah, have mercy on me and everyone else." And another form is you make dua for yourself first and thereafter you make dua for others. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because the difference between a dua in which you only you are included and a dua which is all inclusive, the difference between them is like the difference between the earth and the heavens. The difference in status, the dua that only includes yourself, if you want to know its status compared to that dua, think that is the earth. And the dua in which you include other people, it is on that rank. So that is one very easy way we can benefit other people. Underrated way, you can say. Because you help someone physically, you can see the benefit. You make dua for someone, you can't always see the benefit, but definitely there is a benefit. Right now, if you make a dua for people around the world, people in Palestine, people in other places, sometimes you think, well, I can't see any benefit. No, definitely there is, your dua is having effects there. You can't see them, but it is having effects there. So let us bring all these methods of benefiting other people into our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhir da'an. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.